Daniel Cormier going to join us in a half hour, 11:30 a.m. Eastern on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Soccer is back on ESPN+. Serie A, FA Cup, MLS, and more. Plus, get original series, exclusive studio shows, and the complete 30 for 30 library. Stream soccer from the best leagues and tournaments around the world, all in HD, all on your favorite devices. The beautiful game lives on ESPN+. Sign up today at ESPNplus.com or in the ESPN app. Here's your SportsCenter update. LeBron James said he'll be one of the few NBA players who will forego a social justice message on the back of his jersey when the season resumes in Orlando, Florida. NHL teams began emailing season ticket holders over the weekend, asking them to record 30-second clips of cheering for their players. The clips will be used during games played in empty arenas inside the Toronto and Edmonton hub cities, as well as on broadcast and through NHL social media channels. And finally, if you place your feet into a plastic bag with a piece of garlic, you'll be able to both taste and smell the garlic after an hour. Huh. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Chris, can you do that for us, please? Would you mind going to your fridge, please, and putting your feet in a bag?
The guy.
And because I just saw you mouth, let's do it. And I was fairly shocked by both your reaction and the news that Stugatz was delivering. It made me wonder, who's the first person who did that? Like, who said, I wonder if I could taste garlic an hour after I put my feet in a bag with garlic. So go ahead and do that for us, Chris, if you don't mind, and give us the results before the end of the show.
I'd love to do that. That sounds like a dream. I love garlic. I smother garlic on everything. But I believe the only thing I have currently is minced garlic. You know, like the little jar of already minced. Not fresh pieces of garlic, so I might have to do this tomorrow because we want to do this the right way.
All right, but don't forget to do it. And I kind of like you sticking your freckled feet into a jar of minced garlic. But okay, the red wolf is an actual wolf, Stugatz, so it's not an imaginary animal. Let's get into this Adrian Wojnarowski story. What were your thoughts when you saw what it is that happened? Again, a U.S. senator had written a note complaining about ESPN's coverage of China, or absence of coverage as it relates to the Hong Kong democratic movement. And Woj wrote back, and Woj is a pillar of professionalism, has nary a smear anywhere on his resume at ESPN or anywhere else. And he just wrote back, bleep you. And so ESPN sent out a statement saying that was totally unacceptable, that you can't do that to a U.S. senator. I'd say you shouldn't do it to anybody. I don't care whether you're a U.S. senator or not. You shouldn't do it to anybody. ESPN shouldn't be condoning the doing of it to anybody. But what were your thoughts there, Stugatz, when you read this story?
That Woj was going to be in trouble, that it was unprofessional, that I was, until that very moment, unaware and thought it was incapable for Woj to curse. And I was surprised. And I got to be honest, a little bit turned on. Woj, to me, I have never seen, like, he's a different Woj. Dirty Woj dropping F-bombs instead of Woj bombs is a totally different person, and a person that I happen to like. I mean, turned he'll on. Serve a suspension. But
aroused. Woj. Aroused. I did not expect my answer. I didn't expect your answer to how did you feel about this story to be aroused.
Turned on.
Were you searching for words there and didn't know what to come up with? Sensual arousal is not something I thought a whole lot of people would be experiencing with that story.
Dan, to be clear, ESPN said this is completely...
Except maybe Clay Travis.
This is completely unacceptable behavior, and we do not condone it. It is inexcusable for anyone working for ESPN to respond in the way Adrian did to Senator Hawley. We are addressing it directly with Adrian, and specifics of those conversations will remain internal. And then, Dan, Woj said, "I was disrespectful and I made a regrettable mistake. I'm sorry for the way I handled myself, and I am reaching out immediately to Senator Hawley to apologize directly. I also need to apologize to my colleagues at ESPN, you're forgiven, because I know my actions were unacceptable and should not reflect on them in any way."
So he went from, you know, he went from Dirty Woj right back to regular Woj. And I'm telling you, I really like Dirty Woj. I mean, F-bombs with Woj. Different Woj.
Billy, I had that apology a little softer. You were reading that apology very aggressive.
What was that tone?
Like,
What was that? Your tone was all off.
You know, if I'm going to be honest with you guys, I've been kind of trying to experiment with vocal talent work, right? But I don't have it. Right. So I found a couple difficulties. I'm not good at emoting. I don't give off a lot of emotion. And then when I do, it comes off as insincere. So I'm trying to do like a big voice thing. But I don't know how that's working out either, because apparently you're not getting the right tone when I'm doing that either.
Well, the tone that you just delivered, an interesting time you chose to experiment with that, is something that ESPN could find offensive, because what you were giving off was sarcasm.
No. I was reading the statement.
I know, but what it felt like was you weren't taking the statement seriously. It sounded like you were taking them flippantly.
No. Quite the opposite. I read the statement so we could get the statement.
I'm just saying, keep working on that, because your tone could very easily be misconstrued. I'm glad I asked you, because it sounded like sarcasm.
Yeah, but voiceover, Dan, voiceover work can go in a lot of different directions where you have to play characters, and Billy was working out his sarcasm there.
Just an interesting time to choose to do it as scared Billy. Like, it's just...
Do you see what I'm saying with me lacking like sincerity? I'm trying to read it, and then, you know, Dan, reading's hard, especially on the air. There's a lot of mistakes that you can make, and if I'm going to be honest, I botched some of the lines and I just kept powering through because I thought my voice would exude confidence.
Yeah, unexcusable, I don't think, was what they wrote.
No, it says inexcusable. Yeah, unexcusable. I was hoping no one would catch that. But
all right, let me go through this here real quick, because I found it interesting that NBA players are saying free Woj, and I guess what they're doing is taking the part of the Black Lives Matter note that was in there, because they've been all suspiciously quiet on the subject of China. It's not China that's getting them upset. And one of the things that I think is totally fair, like whatever your criticism is of the NBA or ESPN on this subject, totally fair, because that's the intersection of politics and sports. And I know the gates have broken open on what it is we can and can't talk about. But even when our policy was, hey, no politics, we don't talk politics around here as a corporate policy, even when it was that right there was the intersection of politics and sports. And according to ESPN's own rules, you're allowed, if politics and sports intersect, and everyone got real scared of the money, everyone's got their hands in China's pockets, everybody in America that's Fortune 500 is making a whole lot of money in China, and the suspicious silence on this is pretty deafening. So any criticism you want to file on that front, have at it, because I feel like it's deserved. You see, with the Washington name, what happens when money gets involved, Stugat? Sometimes you get power, and sometimes you get cowardice as it relates to, am I going to lose money? And China is paying a whole lot of people a whole lot of money. And so the NBA, it looked ugly the way that it seemed like, and you know that I'm son of exiles guy. It felt like we were choosing money over free speech. We were choosing money over democracy. Like, it felt like that's what was happening over there. And the NBA, with all the money in the world, this is pre-virus, just no, we want to keep making the money. And you didn't hear it all over our network either. So I understand that part of the senator's letter, and if you're Adrian Wojnarowski, basically, Stugatz, if you're any of us, your name on your email is ESPN. You're basically putting that message on corporate letterhead, and it's understandable that the company wouldn't want that in any way. Like, I don't see an argument on the other side of, I don't see the free Woj argument. If Woj knows he's wrong, if the company knows he's wrong, if that's not the way you talk to people in a professional manner on company letterhead, like, what's the free Woj argument? Like, Woj knows he deserves to be punished here. Woj isn't going to sit here and make the argument on his behalf. But these are crazy times, Stugatz. Like, this is, like, these are crazy emotional times. Everybody's a little bit nuts. Everybody is, you know, covered in lighter fluid, and we're all very close to the nearest spark. And, like, I understand how something like this happens, ends up happening. What I don't understand is NBA guys being like Free Woj. Like, what is happening there?
I don't know. I mean, because we're a big corporation, and Woj responded in a way that was totally unprofessional, and I'm not certain anyone can do that at this network or any big corporation without suffering some sort of suspension or getting fired or something along those lines. In fact, is there anyone at ESPN who could send that and they're either not fired or fined? Anybody?
I don't think that you can do that on that's as strong a statement as I've ever heard ESPN put out on anything. Yeah. I don't understand, though. Like, don't talk that way to a U.S. senator. I don't care whether it's a U.S. senator or not. I really don't. Like, just don't talk that way to people when it's got, you know, when you're basically putting on corporate letterhead. We can't respond that way. You'll get in trouble, I think, if it's made public, Stugatz, of us responding that way to anybody. You don't respond that way to a customer either. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the way that you handle it.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
Doesn't change my opinion in any way of Woj, though. And I certainly wasn't aroused by it like Stugatz was.
I mean, sexy.
Super strange response. Put it on the poll, Chris. Was Woj's response sexy at Levitard Show? Yes or no? We will get to the straight talk in a second about the Will Smith Jada Pinkett situation. Stugatz, what is your understanding of this situation? If we got the Cliff Notes version of this story for the audience, if you were the one explaining it so the audience could understand, how would you go about doing that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or are you totally ignorant and weren't listening when I was talking about it last time?
Totally ignorant and was not listening last time you were talking about. Just to be honest, Dan, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. Honesty. Okay, the honesty leaf.
Okay, yeah. I see the lazy leaf is still a full blooming tree and forest.
Always there. Yep.
He seemed so sad, huh? I didn't see the video, but I just saw like the screenshot of his face. Well, it seemed really sad.
Well, let me explain to you why this was sad and awkward and awful. All of it felt just disgusting. It did. And I'm not even talking about the sexual elements of it. I'm talking about the Hollywoodization of the reaction, where they have to get out in front of us and give us their most private details because they've got images to protect. And it just felt super unseemly. But we'll get to that in just a second. First, in order to make you happy before, you get sad because Will Smith had a sad face, here is a song, Stugatz. As Boog Shambi continues to take over South Korea, South Florida in 4 days has more coronavirus infections than South Korea does in the entire time that it has been plagued by this, because Florida stinks and the United States stinks at this coronavirus reaction. But because it exists and because we don't have sports, Boog Shambi at 5 o'clock in the morning is doing baseball broadcasts of South Korean baseball. And this song was stuck in Billy's head all weekend.
ESPN, Boog Shambi, wow! ESPN, Boog Shambi, let you go, wow! Together, wow! ESPN, Boog Shambi! ESPN, Boog Shambi, wow! ESPN, Boog Shambi, let you go, wow! Together, wow! ESPN, Boog Shambi.
If by great you mean terrible, it is pretty great.
ESPN, Boog Shambi.
Wow.
ESPN, Boog Shambi. Wow. Go. Wow.
We got it wrong there.
Wow. ESPN, Boog Shambi. ESPN, Boog Shambi, wow! ESPN, Boog Shambi, let you go.
What
wow.
is
together?
What
wow.
is the?
ESPN, Boog Shambi.
What is the song most likely to catch in your head that you absolutely know that the singing is dreadful? Can you knock me out of this game if I go all in with Biz Markie. She says she's just a friend, or he's just a friend. Like, can any
that song.
Like, but in terms of something that gets into your stuck in your head, and you know it's not not sung well, because I can't believe that that is something that has now gotten stuck in our head.
That sounds good. Wait, both of those songs are good. What do you mean not sung well? Which one? Biz Markie's not a good song, Dan. Do you not think that's a good song?
It's not well sung. The
what
singing,
are you talking
the
about?
Singing voice.
It's
of,
very distinct.
All right, Chris,
Eddie Vedder has a good voice. No.
Who let the dogs out? Who?
Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Are you claiming that Biz Markie's singing voice in that is good?
Oh, yeah. You don't think it is?
Yeah,
it's very
yeah,
unique. It's yeah, distinct. Dan, you want me to tell you a quick story? This is kind of related.
You don't tell those.
Well, so someone in my building sent out a message. There's like this message board thing, right? When they have things for sale or they want to walk your dog or whatever. And they're like, we're selling a digital piano for $250. And I was trying to look up this digital piano. I don't know how to play a piano, right? I don't know how to play a piano. But I've always fancied myself possibly capable of being a musician, right? And maybe I could play a piano. I probably should have started at a younger age, but I was thinking maybe now might be the opportunity of a lifetime, right?
Well,
how
yes,
often do
yes,
you get
yeah,
the opportunity? I mean, the opportunity fell at my doorstep almost quite literally,
yeah,
right? They sent a thing saying, we'll even bring it to your doorstep. So I could get this digital piano, but I don't know how to do it. But Biz Markie, he was playing the piano in that music video. I don't know if he does in real life or not, but in the music video he was. He had, like, the powdered wig. That was a whole thing. And that was bad to you? How was that bad to you?
I'm not saying the song is bad. I also like the song. My argument is that a song like that that gets stuck in your head usually doesn't have a terrible singing voice on it.
I don't know. Can you play the piano?
No, I cannot play the piano. I don't think anybody on our show could play the piano. I don't understand how it is that this late in life you've always fancied yourself a musician.
Wait a second, Dan. I played piano for a semester in high school for my senior class. I took a piano class. The only difference was that the piano was electric, so I'd have the guy next to me actually record the song, and then I'd just face my back to the teacher and be like, you know, playing the keys along, and I got an A in it.
Who the hell is Tony? Chris, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show. What is Daniel Cormier better at, fighting or talking about fighting? You could get him talking about fighting on the DC and Helwani podcast, wherever it is you get your podcast. You could get him actually fighting as the headliner, UFC 252, August 15th, Daniel Cormier with us now on ESPN Radio. Would that fight have gone any differently, Daniel? And thank you for joining us. If Jorge Masvidal had a full training camp?
I would, right off the top of my head, I would say no, right? Just because I feel like it's a bad matchup for Jorge Masvidal. But when watching the fight and how well he defended takedowns, I'm not as sure as I was before the fight started. You know, I thought Usman was going to be able to take him down and control him much easier, but Usman got takedown and found no success with top control. So I don't know if he would have been able to change the result, but I do believe he'd have been able to get to space a little bit more effectively than he did on Saturday night.
What is the shortest amount of time you ever have had before a fight?
I think, so I did fights on short notice before, but generally you're always in the gym kind of just training, especially back then, right? When I was first starting, every day I went to practice, you know, whereas now as I've gotten older, I'll take days off, I'll take weeks off at times. But, yeah, like sometimes like, you know, a couple weeks here, a couple weeks there, they just tell you you're going to fight in a couple weeks and you go and do it. I don't know if I've ever taken one on 6 days notice.
Daniel, to me, that didn't feel like I get it. I understand that Usman is fighting within the rules. He's going to his strengths, playing to his strengths, where he just locks you up and steps on your feet. But to me, that doesn't feel like fighting. That did not feel like a fight. And as someone who stayed up to 1 a.m. and paid the money, I was usually disappointed with how that thing turned out. Am I wrong?
You see, here was the issue, right? Kamaru Usman is a guy that doesn't get the credit that he deserves. Now, because of the star of Jorge Masvidal, more people that aren't just UFC fans were watching. So that was a massive opportunity for him to gain some new fans and really get some traction. And I don't think he did that Saturday. Because for all the people that were just tuning in for the first time, and there were a lot of them, they saw him clinch the whole time. And it was classic Usman. That's what he does, but that's not the best way to draw people in. And I think that the sentiment that you're saying right now is shared by a lot of people, a vast majority of people that watched the fight on Saturday. It was a fight. It was a fight. And if you look at Gamebred's face today, he's got some cuts and, you know, Usman has some bruising, but that is the Kamaru Usman fight.
Well, what is the responsibility of the fighter in terms of entertaining? I know you've gotten hit with this a couple of times.
Yeah, you know, that happened to me against Anderson Silva. I fought him on like 3 days, and I took him down a lot, and people were upset. But you got to balance that off with fights where you are kind of willing to just let it all hang out, you know, and I've had those fights too. It's just, I think it's just a matter of matchups, and I just feel like the Masvidal fight was so big, and there's so much bad blood, and Jorge's so dangerous that Usman just had to play it safe. I mean, I don't know if he approached that fight any different last weekend, he could have walked away with no belt. So ultimately, he is the big winner of the weekend, but I think he lost an opportunity to really make a statement and gain some fans.
If those two just square off in the middle of the octagon, how quickly would it take Masvidal to beat Usman?
You know, when you look at the striking, you could see that Masvidal is much more fluid. He's much more technical. He's much more skilled. You saw Kamaru miss on a lot of shots, and he thinks that it's because he was preparing for Gilbert Burns, right? He didn't get a chance to prepare to fight a stand-up guy like Masvidal. In a boxing match, I think Masvidal wins, but we fight free in mixed martial arts, you know, and everything's involved in. For as much as that one may have been not good to the blind eye, it is a fight. It's a free fight, and that's the way Kamaru Usman wins.
Daniel Cormier with us on ESPN Radio. Toe stomping. What does that feel like? How bad is the toe stomping?
It hurts. It hurts, right? Because you're getting those foot stomps. It's not something that bothers you at the time. Like, when you're in there, your adrenaline's going so fast. Your everything is going is so sped up that the punches don't hurt as bad. The kicks don't hurt as bad. They do still hurt, but the foot stumps don't hurt at all. But the next day, I'm telling you, you wake up and your feet are hurting. They're swollen. It's up. But inside the fight, it's more annoying than anything. I think what Usman did really well, though, was inside of the clinch, landing a lot of big body punches and just truly controlling George Masvidal.
I thought the strawweight women was the best fight of the night. What did you think?
I did. I thought the Piotr Jan and Jose Aldo fight was good, too. I thought the stoppage could have been a little bit quicker. I thought Aldo was done. His posture and everything showed he was done. But Nama Yunus and Andrade was just this crazy fight. And it was so good because it built to that the ending where they were both just going crazy. Nama Yunus seemed to be controlling early, and then once Andrade found her distance and range and busted up her eye, it ended up being great in terms of the fight and the visual after the fight. She enrolls there with her eye closed completely. Yeah, it was a great – I thought that was the best fight of the night, but in terms of just absolute skill, Aldo Jan was good. Holloway-Volkanovski was a good fight too. I just thought when the main event is as slow as that one was, it almost kind of puts a damper on the entire night.
What do you do with Dana White's contention and a lot of people's contention that Holloway was robbed in that fight, that he should have won that fight? And what do you think, as a guy who's a champion, about the unspoken word that the champion has? You got to beat the champion. He doesn't lose his belt if it's close.
That's the worst rule in the world, you know. And honestly, part of that comes from Ric Flair. It's so crazy that Ric Flair is such a massive star. He used to say to beat a man, you got to beat the man. And in some way along the line, people started believing that. That's the most untrue thing in the world. Whoever wins the fight wins the fight. And I thought Max Holloway won the fight. But I know as a friend of Max, when that third round was over, I was like, man, that was so close. Like, I was like, that was so close. It made me worried knowing that Max clearly won round one and two, but round three was so close, and I knew Volkanovski was going to come on strong in the fourth and fifth, which he did. And I thought he won four and five pretty clearly. This whole entire fight, guys, came down to 1 5-minute segment. And that was the third round. And two judges gave that round to Volkanovski.
Again, check out the DC and Helwani podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And he's, you know, he's a really good fighter, not just a talker. And he's got a big one. UFC 252 is going to be headlining August 15th. How ornery? You're such a nice person. You seem so nice. How ornery are you the days leading up to a fight? Because I've heard of fighters being crazy people in terms of moodiness. Like, how your loved ones feel how about you the couple of days before a fight?
You know, on Sunday, Monday, when we get to the place that the fight's going on, I'm still pretty normal, right? And I'm still laughing and joking. But around Wednesday, Thursday, the flip starts to switch, right? I start to think more about the event. I start to think more about the fight. And then the jokes that people may have made early in the week, they don't get laughs anymore. I may snap on them. I may talk about they're playing too much. And I can feel it, and the people around me can feel it. They can feel when I start to turn into the guy that is about to fight, you know, for a championship. You know, the last 9 fights of my career have all been title fights. You know, so all the way back to 2015. So as I start to get ready to enter that octagon with the UFC title on the line and all the stuff that comes with it, it starts to change, and I become a psychopath.
Good talking to you, psychopath. Always good talking to you. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Today is for doing, and today the players of the WNBA's Atlanta Dream are standing against one of their minority owners. Senator Kelly Loeffler expressed her opposition to the WNBA's support of the Black Lives Matter movement and the politicalization of sports. It's a tough one for me. On Friday, after calls for her to share her share of the dream, Loeffler said she will not do so, saying that she will not bow down to the woke mob. In the wake of that, the Dream's 13 players spoke as one in a tweet saying, "Our team is united in the movement for Black lives. It is not extreme to demand change after centuries of inequality. This is not a political statement. This is a statement of humanity." Today is for doing, and it's brought to you by the Home Depot. With everything you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier, welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Stugatz's weekend observations are around the corner. It's going to be noon Eastern if you want some of that. If you've been sitting around saying to yourself, I wonder what it is that Stugatz thought about this weekend, he's going to spill it all on your lap in about 10 minutes. I don't think, Stugatz, I imagine that you were very frustrated last week for a couple of reasons, being off as Jorge Masvidal was fighting, so you couldn't go be in his corner and braid your hair and do everything because there's a pandemic. And also, my guess is you probably had something for Deshaun Jackson and Steven Jackson based on the quagmires they found themselves in last week with some what seemed like supportive anti-Semitism. You know, just I... The Hitler stuff in 2020, like it's hard to believe that people are still making that mistake.
It is, you know what, Dan? It's funny because I found myself in a very forgiving place. Like, I am not expecting Deshaun Jackson or even Steven Jackson, for that matter, to know about the Holocaust, to know about how much that event. One of the darkest, saddest events in the history of our country, of our world. I'm not expecting them or looking for them to know about that particular event. But if you're going to speak out on social inequality, if you're going to speak out on police brutality, how can I possibly know what Steven Jackson and Deshaun Jackson have gone through? I've never, okay, feared for my life getting pulled over in normal traffic routine. I have never had to have the conversation with my children that their parents had with them and they've had with their children or other children about how to act around cops. And so, and I don't think they expect me to know that. How could I possibly know that? And there's no way I should expect for them to know about how much the Holocaust affected affected millions of Jews. I will say this. I don't own a bank. There are 10 million Jews living in America. Most of them don't own banks. I thought that was ridiculous. But I actually found myself in a forgiving place, and I would ask DeSean Jackson and Steven Jackson to be the same kind of forgiving, because people are trying to listen, they're trying to educate, they're trying to learn, and they've either made mistakes in the past or they're going to make mistakes moving forward, and I hope those guys are as forgiving as people were with them.
Oh, you were doing so well, Stugatz. Just everyone in the audience was having the same reaction. Wow, that's right. 2 minutes of Stugatz on a good social subject, and he has surprised us by being thoughtful. And then you got caught in the quicksand of your own sickness and phlegm at the end, and it drowned you. It was like that was the Stugatz. That was the clip that was going to be on SportsCenter, and now we can't do it. We can't do it because you got caught in your own ailment.
It sounded somewhat emotional, though, almost like almost like a good phlegm there at the end.
Really?
You're like, whoa,
really.
Yeah, it was. I mean, listen, Dan, I'll try it again. There are 7.5 million Jews living in America, not all of them on a bank, okay? I mean, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. It's like every Jackson plays basketball or football. I mean, what are you doing? All I would say is this. You can't make that assumption. You can't even say it. If you're Steven Jackson and you're going to speak out and be one of the voices, and I applaud you for doing so, okay? If you're going to speak out on police brutality, I don't even expect you to speak out for all races, for all religions. I'm not even expecting that. But if you do, don't be wrong, because you did and you were wrong. Get it right. If you're going to speak out, get it right. That's the only thing I would say to Steven Jackson. That is it.
Stugatz's weekend observations are next.